Thanks for checking out the Greater Church podcast today. We're praying that wherever you find yourself on the journey, that this message would be encouraging to you. And now, here's today's message.
Hey, come on, it's gonna be fun. Hey, Psalms 92 verse 13. It says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been in this series, Above All. And we've learned how God has formed us, how he's consecrated us. He appointed us. We've learned about God's will and how he's not so much concerned about you chasing after his will as much as it is he is wanting you to chase after his ways. Doesn't care about what you do, but who you become in the process. Last week, we talked about once you take that gift, that talent, that thing that God has given you, we don't bury it in the ground. We plant it in the ground. And we've talked about how you prepare, how you connect with others, how you operate in that gift. And today I want to preach to you from this idea, this subject, planting redwoods. And I'm believing that God is going to speak to each and every one of us. Come on, let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity that we have now to just come before you. Lord, I ask that you would speak. Remove me out of the equation, Lord. I pray that your words would come forth, Lord. Help us, Father God, to do the things that you've called us to do in excellence, Lord. Father, we love you and we thank you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen and amen. Come on, one more time. Would you put your hands together for Jesus all over this place? Instant gratification. It's the name of the game. A dopamine shot here and a dopamine shot there. Conversations in this day and age, they're obsolete. It's a quick text and keep it moving. I come from a generation when you would do push-ups, you would brush your teeth twice, you would put on your good clothes, and then you had the courage to ask a girl out. Now you just slide in their DM and keep it moving. Shout out to Joe. He keeps me hip to what the kids are saying these days. DM, that's direct messages on Instagram if you don't know what that is. But for the most part, we come from a different generation. In my generation, taking a picture wasn't easy. It wasn't just a simple task as it is now. It's 85 pictures on your phone, and you got these candids where you look to the side. Oh, it's a bird. There's a bird. Oh, wow, a bird. And it's like, oh, did you get the right picture? After 85 different pictures that they take, we didn't have that luxury.
We had 1, 2, 3 cheese. Cheese doesn't exist. There is no more cheese. People don't say cheese anymore. 1, 2, 3. Look at the picture. You yelled at your kids because they didn't look at the pictures. Look at the camera. Okay. 1, 2, 3. Cheese. That doesn't exist anymore. Now it's just instant grab. You throw 100 pictures. We didn't have this cell phone with all of these 100 million pictures and 256 gigabytes of pictures. We had a camera, and we would take out that little roll of the camera, and we would put it inside a little black FBI case, and you would take that little case, and you would take it there. If you're from Florida, I don't know if they had it here, Eckerd's or Woolworth's or McCrory's. Like, we had different stores. I don't know if they had them over here, but you would take them to them, and they would develop them. We actually, in school, they actually had a class where they would show you how to develop the pictures. You would go into this dark room, and they would take the pictures and they put them through water. I know, it's crazy. They would put them through it and then they would dry them out, and then you would see these pictures develop. And you didn't take 58 pictures to find the right one. You actually had to take one picture, and if you didn't, mama was gonna beat the brakes off you because you weren't looking. And if you had the weird red eyes, then you had a demon in you. They would take you to church. No, I'm lying. That's a joke. But for the most part, like, you would have to do this. But instant gratification has become the name of the game in 2017, and sometimes we can grab that and we put that and we kind of tie it in and we kind of live our life modeled after instant gratification, and we think we come to church and God will give us our calling and we will know what it is that God will give us, and then all of a sudden it would happen from one day to the next. I'm going to be operating in the gifts. I'm going to be preaching. I got a church of 1,000 people that show up every Sunday, when in reality, that's not the name of the game. That's not the way that God operates. See, God operates outside of time. So when you find yourself trying to figure God out in time, you'll never be able to figure it out, because that's not the way that God works with us. He works outside of time, and it takes time. Is there a little prayer that I can give you so that God's will can happen in your life? No. Is there a little cloth that I can sell to you for $12.99, 3 payments of it, of your love gift? No. There is no offering that I can take from you to be able to give it to you. It just takes time, and it takes you being planted. John chapter 12, verse 24. It's right here behind me. I want to read this real quick. John chapter 12, verse 24 and 26. It says, most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Here we see a picture that John was painting that is not a popular preaching in 2017, where it actually means that you have to die to yourself. You actually have to take some time to let God work in and through you. You actually have to make some changes, not just come to church, shout 150 songs and go home and live your life however you did. But God is actually calling you to die. That's weird, but not in the context of what he's saying. See, he's telling us, Matthew 25, we kind of left off on that verse last week. It talks about this man who took his talent, and the Bible says that he buried it in the ground. See, when you bury something in the ground, it doesn't do anything. Burying it is just leaving it there to die. But when you plant something, that's a completely different ballpark. When you're planted in the Lord, in the house of the Lord, you shall flourish. So we find ourselves in a place where this guy is talking about this gift that God has put in you, this talent, your life, and how we take it sometimes and we can just hold it. And it doesn't really do anything because the potential, everything inside of it, it's non-existent unless you bury it in God's house. Unless you bury it and die in God's house. Am I telling you that we're going to pass juice around and all of us are going to die and go to heaven? No, that's weird. I'm not going to do that. But it's a spiritual denying of yourself, the things that you want to do, your desires, your passions. You saying, I'm going to allow those things to die in me because I want to live this thing out for Jesus. Planted. What does it mean to be planted? I think for you to understand what something is, you probably got to look backwards and see what it's not. And I think what it's not is found right here in John chapter 12, where it's saying if a seed doesn't die in the ground, it's just a seed by itself. If you take this seed right here, you can't see it because it's small. But if you take this seed right here and I just hold it in my hand forever and don't plant this seed in the ground, this seed is just going to be a seed. Understand that the fruit that's inside of this seed or whatever vegetable it is, or I don't even know what these seeds are, but whatever this thing is, it's never going to come out. Is that a picture of our life? Outside of God's house, outside of church, which has a really bad name, but it has a really good name because his name is Jesus and his name is me, Chino. It's you. The church isn't a building with four walls. The church is actually the people that transition in and out of that place. That's who the church is. But all of a sudden we take this seed and we kind of keep our gifts to ourselves. And the book that you wanted to write, the blog that you wanted to start, that song that you wanted to write, the instrument that you know you play very well, you just kind of keep it and you don't, before you know it, you just kind of got it to yourself and you didn't do anything with it. And it's potential that's just dead. Can I tell you something? And I don't know if you ever known this. Do you know where is the richest place on earth that has ever existed? It's not Fort Knox. It's not this place. It's not Egypt where there's tons upon millions of tons of gold and all different type of things that are currency. No, it's neither one of those places. You know what's the richest place in the world? The cemetery. Because in the cemetery, you got a bunch of seeds, a bunch of potential, a bunch of books that were never written, a bunch of songs that were never written, a bunch of people that had incredible potential in and of themselves, but they never allowed themselves to be planted. And each and every one of those dreams died there with them. As you pass by a cemetery, you can only think of all of the hit songs that were dead there. The books that could have changed people's lives, the messages, the sermons that could have been preached that would have changed so many people. As you look at a cemetery, it's a very clear picture of what it looks like not to be planted. Now, what does it look like to be planted? I think it's very easy. I think we got a little bit of an illustration here. Shout out to Home Depot. You kind of have this place where you in life, anything that is planted, you have seed, you have some time, and then you have harvest. We've all kind of heard of that. Sometimes you've seen it in a TV show when they talk about giving. It's seed, time, and harvest. God's going to give you money. But praise God, he will. Amen. I believe it. I receive it. But for the most part, seed, time, and harvest, this is a term that was used for people who were farming. It's this idea of you plant a seed, you wait a little while, and then you reap a harvest. Now, the harvest might not be what you think it is, but for the most part, you kind of plant a seed, wait some time, and then you reap a harvest. You get whatever it is that you planted. If you planted a strawberry field, you're going to get strawberries back. But for the most part, it's seed, time, and harvest. This idea of seed, of us placing our seed inside of the dirt, that dirt is God's house. That dirt is, sometimes it's God's people that you keep around you. Why? Because you would take this seed and you would actually put it inside of some dirt. You would till the ground up. You would bury it in there. You would find a space for it. And the deeper you get, you put it inside of there and you kind of cover it with the dirt so that this seed can begin to move. This seed can begin to die and bring forth fruit out of it. Now, this seed is so representative of our life. Why? Because there's so many times that we find ourselves where we're buried. We feel like we got problems from every single angle. And in reality, we're sitting here and we're doing the right thing for God. Chino, I did the thing. I raised my hand. I gave my life. I did Growth Track. I did G Groups. I did everything. But now it feels like I got dirt all the way around me. I can't see where I'm going. I don't have no direction. That's the beginning of the process. You are in the best place that you ever imagined in your life. Why? Because what you don't see is that God is giving you the nutrients. He's giving you the things that you need in life to be able to live this thing out. See, understand this. Everything in life is going to water your call. I've said that before, right? Everything that you do in life, the music you listen to, it's going to water your call. It's going to water your life. The TV that you watch, the people that you hang out with. I remember as a kid, I was super influenced by everything. Like I say, I come from a completely different background or a completely different generation than you guys. We had Karate Kid, but we had Danielson. We didn't have Jaden Smith. So we had the real Karate Kid. And it was funny because I remember when Karate Kid came, and understand I was living in not so good parts of Miami in that time. But every time, you could have been a gang member. All you knew was how to fight with your hands. You could have been the guy that had guns on you. Everybody in the neighborhood pulled one of these out. It didn't matter where you went. Everybody was like, what's up? You good? Okay, God bless you. You went to school and everybody had their, like, when Rocky came out, man, everybody in the hood thought that they were Rocky. Everybody was like, like they do the weird mouth thing. Like, it was influenced because of that. We saw Super Mario's or Dungeon, whatever it is that we watched, it was funny how much we were influencing. That's the same thing in life, though, if I'm honest with you. Depending on who you hang with is who you're going to be influenced by. If I take my life and I plant it around a bunch of musicians, and they all play instruments, kind of like our worship team, how Danny, Patrick, how Miguel, how Steve, how these guys up here, they're incredible musicians. If I plant my life there and I hang with them and I spend my time with them, you know what's gonna probably end up happening with me? Sooner or later, I'm probably gonna pick up an instrument and I'm gonna try to play. I'm horrible, by the way, but I'm a good singer. I sing in the key of Y, so I'm gonna stay to my lane and what God has gifted me with. But for the most part, if you hang around with a bunch of lazy people, guess what you're gonna be? If you hang around with a bunch of people that don't believe in work and they just want to sit at home and play PlayStation all night and L2 and R1 and they want to have Madden tournaments amongst each other, but none of them have a job and they're all in their 30s and they're still with mom, guess what's going to end up happening with you? But now on the flip side of that, if you kind of turn that coin around and you find yourself in a place where you start hanging with some people that are finding or in the giftings of where you want to be at. Like, I want to be around some people who are into education. Why? Because I want to further my education and eventually I want to be a teacher. Now I find myself planting myself around people who are in education. Here's the beautiful part about it. When you plant yourself in the house of God, you got people that they don't have it all figured out. They don't have all the latest songs in their memory. They don't know all the scriptures, but we're a bunch of broken and flawed individuals who, when we do this thing together, we're trying to strive for Jesus. I don't want perfect people in my life. I don't need a bunch of perfect people. I want some people that look like me, that sound like me, that know where I've been at, and they can help me to move forward in life. I don't want to find myself in a place where everybody got it figured out and I'm the only one that's sitting there like, what can I do? Where do I fit? Man, you fit right here. You fit right along with us. We ain't perfect people. We're just people that are trying to figure it out. But when I plant myself in God's house, things begin to happen in my life because that seed begins to break. Now, the things that you think that are actually harming you or kind of putting you down, God will begin to use these things to give you the nutrients that you need to grow. And as you die in God's house, as you leave all of your desires, the things that you want to do that you know are against God's will, all of a sudden God begins to grow you. He begins to break some things. You look at the ground, and it doesn't matter how long I can show you this pot right now, you're not going to see this pot begin to grow. Why? Because it takes time. Time is the second one. So you have your seed, and then you have time. You kind of got to give it some time for God to be able to do the things that he needs to do. Can I give you a word of encouragement right now? Trust the process. Trust the process. I've done it. I came to church. I'm trying to figure it out. Trust the project, the process. Believe that God is actually doing what he said he's going to do. When you look at the dirt, you don't understand that there's roots that are growing, that there's things that are actually happening. All of a sudden in your life, everything in life is spiritual. So as you allow God to water your call, as you allow God to water your life, all of a sudden God will start birthing things inside of you that you never knew that you had. Why? Because it takes time, but you got to trust the process. The story is told of this little kid. And this little kid goes to his backyard and he sees this little cocoon. For those of you that don't know what a cocoon is, a worm kind of goes in a cocoon. It goes through a metamorphosis process and then it becomes a butterfly and then it flies, right? So this kid goes up to the cocoon and he's watching it. And one day he comes and he notices that the cocoon is kind of moving a little bit. He's like, why is it moving? Ah, that's weird. Goes home, comes back the next day. He sees that the cocoon is still moving. After a few days, he's intrigued by it and he's trying to look, why is it moving? And he kind of starts to look and he sees that there's like an object inside of it. And the kid starts to get worried. He's like, maybe whatever it is that's in that cocoon is trapped. So what does this kid do? This kid leaves the cocoon. He goes to his house and he grabs a razor blade. He comes back with a razor blade. He goes to the cocoon and he cuts the cocoon open. As soon as he cuts up the cocoon, all of a sudden this half worm, half butterfly object falls onto the ground. It flaps around for a little while and it dies. This kid can't do anything for it and he's watching it as it flaps around. What happened? Here's what happened. What happened was that that worm was inside of that cocoon. It was in a tight space and it was in there. And what it was trying to do was it was building its strength in its arms and its wings. As it developed, it was beating up against the side, trying to get the strength to be able to do it. As it did this with time, as it took time, all of a sudden, as it took time, it kept beating his wings. It would find itself in a place where it had enough strength to be able to break out of the cocoon. The moment that it broke out of the cocoon, it had enough strength to be able to fly. In your life, man, God has put you in places. Don't walk out of this situation. Don't run away from the situation. God actually has you in a tight space because he's trying to birth some strength inside of you. He's trying to develop some things inside of you. If you stay in the cocoon, I promise you, you're going to be able to soar. But there has to be some time. There has to be time that you just spend in this thing. And though it feels like it's tight and it doesn't make sense to you because you want to fly and you feel like you're ready to fly, if you give it a little bit of time, if you just wait on God for just a little bit, God is going to begin to give you the strength so that when you break out of that cocoon, you're going to fly and you're never going to have to worry about hitting the ground, being half morphed where you don't have the strength to fly and you don't have the strength to crawl because you find yourself in transition. You're in the middle and that's the worst place to be. But here's the truth. A seed and a tree, it's only going to be as strong as its roots are. So you got to let God grow you down. Nobody's going to see you. Nobody's going to hear the song. You write it. Nobody's going to read the book just now. You write it. Nobody's going to see the things that you're doing right now in private when you prepare, when you connect, when you operate. People are not going to see that. To be honest with you, people are probably going to still look at you and think that you're the same individual. Even though you came to church, you gave your life to Jesus, you said, Lord, I'm with you. People are still going to think about your past. God is not thinking about your past, but people are. They're not going to see that, but it doesn't matter what they say. They're not watching the roots and the things that God is forming in and through you. If he can open up your eyes and show you what God is actually lining up for you, you would understand that it's more important for me to grow down than it is for me to grow up. Seed, time, and then harvest. Here's my pretty flowers. Y'all like my flowers? Seed, time, and harvest. Now, harvest is when you finally begin to do the things that God has told you to do. Harvest is when it's pretty. Harvest is when the flowers come up. Harvest is when it's good, when all the apples are on the tree. Harvest is when all the avocados are on the tree. All the mangoes are on the tree. Praise Jesus, somebody. Harvest is when it gets fun. I could go on a run right here and I can dun 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 dun. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Harvest. Yeah, you go, hey, harvest, hey. We all scream and we're gonna run around the circle and we're like, ah, harvest! Yeah. Harvest ain't easy. If you've ever been in anything that has to do with farming, then you would understand that harvest is not easy. It's not. He's an on-time God. No, it's not. Harvest actually takes work. Because harvest is when you got to put your farmer's hat on. It's going to be hot outside. You're going to be sweating. You're going to be full of dirt. You got to be on your knees as you pluck out each and every one of those carrots, I think carrots are underground. You gotta go and you gotta take onions out. I seen that on a meme. You gotta go and you gotta little by little pluck out each of every apple, and you gotta kind of inspect it and make sure that it's good. And that stuff takes time. That stuff takes hard work. Your gifting, your calling, your life takes hard work. It takes you not responding to that text from your ex. It takes you to go to Facebook and for you to block that person and not really keep engaging that conversation. It actually takes you getting up 15 minutes earlier to go to work instead of telling your coworker to clock you in. It takes work. The harvest takes work. But here's the beautiful part about it. If you can manage to say, God, I am going to let my will, my desires, I'm going to throw them at your feet. I'm going to bury them. I'm going to plant them in your house. And I'm going to believe that you're going to bring about a harvest. The moment that harvest happens, everything changes, because now you find yourself in a place where you took some time, planted some seeds. There was some time that you allowed to God to grow this thing down. And all of a sudden now you find yourself in a place where this thing is starting to flourish. And it's starting to look good, but there's work that's involved in this thing. But all of a sudden now you find yourself in a place where you begin to flourish. Planted in the house of the Lord, they shall flourish in the courts of our God. The courts of our God, it's God's house. Where does God live? God lives in our hearts. God lives everywhere. It's actually saying in God's presence. God's presence is at your job. God's presence is on the gym, at the basketball court, on the baseball diamond, at the beach when you go sit down and you're in vacation. That's God's presence as well. Wherever you find yourself, that's where God's presence is. What he's telling us is that if we plant ourselves in God's house, we find ourselves in God's house, we allow God to take some time to mold us, to shape us, to put us in the place that he wants to be, the growth tracks, the G groups, the actually telling somebody, hey, can I talk to you for a second? Okay, you're not weird. Hey, man, I'm struggling with this situation right here. Can you walk with me on that journey? The moment that we step out of our shell, we break out of that seed, God will begin to grow us, and then we find ourselves in a place where we're flourishing. Now, understand that I said flourishing. It's not just a one-time thing, but it's an actual constant thing. What does that look like? It looks like, we talked about it last week, we talked about the Word of God, the power that's inside the Word of God. We talked about how much God can do through the Word of God, how my life has been changed, how your life has been changed, how there's still power inside of the Word. Though people will try to discredit it, God still speaks to us in and through his Word. I found direction. My life has been changed because of the Word of God. All of a sudden, you're planted in the Word of God, and you're planted in the house of God, and God begins to grow you, and you get a hunger for the Word of God, and you start opening it up. Now, before you know it, you're opening it up, and now before you think about it, because remember, nobody can see those roots, but God is growing those roots. All of a sudden, there's a hunger for the Word. Now you're sitting in your bed and you're like, man, I want to read the Bible. And you read the Bible and you open it and you're starting to understand it, because it's not thou, thus, and doeth and all of that. You actually went to the NIV or the Message version and you started understanding what God was speaking into your life. And now you're writing notes about it. Ooh, things start changing because you start flourishing. It's not a one-time deal. It's actually a constant thing. Once a tree grows, it goes through times where the winter will knock it out and there'll be leaves gone and some pruning, but all of a sudden it'll come back stronger than ever, and the next season it'll be beautiful, and it's constant. Why? You find yourself reading the Word. Now all of a sudden you're taking notes and you're writing what you think that verse said. By the time you've looked at yourself, the roots have grown. Now all of a sudden you write a blog about it. And you got about two or three chapters that you don't wrote, or two or three paragraphs that you don't wrote about one verse. And you're like, he who is planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. And, oh, this is what I think it means. And you're taking and you're writing these things down. And all of a sudden, God is building something in you. And the roots are starting to grow, because that blog all of a sudden, hey, you got a camera. I want to do YouTube. What's your iPhone is? You got an iPhone 4 like Pat? No, I can't use that. I need like an 8 or something else. He has an 8 special. It's an 8 special. But for the most part, you put that, and all of a sudden you on YouTube and you like, how y'all doing tonight? God bless you. My name is Sister Mary or Brother Joe. I want to welcome you to my YouTube channel. And all of a sudden, God is birthing inside of you preaching. And you started with a hunger for his word to read the Bible, something so simple. But as you continue to flourish, all of a sudden, God started putting some gifts inside of you. We read about this in Matthew 25, where he gave 5 talents to one. They began to use their talent and God started multiplying them and making them more. The same thing happens in your life. When you start walking and operating in the things that God has told you to do, he begins to multiply those things inside of you. Now what you did as a Bible study has turned into a blog, has turned into a YouTube channel. All of a sudden, you grab a microphone and you're preaching your guts out and you're telling people about Jesus. You know why I could talk so good about it? Because that was my life. I didn't know God, but I opened up the Bible. God started speaking to me. I was in prison and I was sitting there writing notes. All of a sudden now, I started to do a little bit of a blog thing. Before you know it, I'm in Georgia preaching my guts out. Come on, if God can't do it. It's seed. It's seed, time, and it's harvest. It's a constant state of flourishing. What God just takes you, the Bible says, from glory to glory to glory. You started with an idea. You started with an idea. You connected it to somebody, and you started serving that person's vision. You started serving that person's vision, and all of a sudden, you find yourself in a place where you saved a little bit of money. Because flourishing, yeah, it can also mean finances, because you're not spending the money on random things. You're actually giving to God. You're giving of your tithes and of your offering. But you're actually saving your money because you're not just. And then the opposite side of that, there's some people who save way too much money and they're like for a rainy day. And all of a sudden you could take that and say, no, I'm going to use this for God's kingdom. I want to see God do something with my money. Can we be transparent here? But all of a sudden it gets doubled. Come on, man. I've seen it in my life. That's why I could talk about it. It's the business, and I started it, and all of a sudden, I connected it to somebody, and before you know it, I took a step of faith, and I was like, I'm going to buy one of these things, and I'm going to try to sell it, and all of a sudden, you sold it, and before you know it, now you got a company. Now you're paying your $400 or whatever it is to register an LLC, and you start your own business, and all of a sudden, you teamed up with some people. You're on Facebook now, and you're promoting your product because you started. You took a step. You planted yourself in God's house, and God will begin to flourish you. Now, he's looking at your heart. He's seeing where you're at. He's seeing where you planted. Are you going to be planted in your efforts, in your strength, in what you think you have? Or are you going to find yourself planted in God's house? As you get planted, God will begin to flourish you. Spiritually, you'll begin to grow and see yourself doing things that you never imagined. If I can be honest with you, some of us, like, we definitely want to operate in gifts and we want to see God use us and we want to see finances and we want to see all of these different things. But if I'm honest with you, sometimes we just want some peace. We want God to flourish our mental state, our emotions. God, I'm just tired of this up and down and like, I don't know where I'm at and I don't know what I'm going to do in life. And I got this idea. Sometimes we just, flourishing just means that God will just calm you down. I'm going to give you one direction to go. And there's peace in that. There's actually more strength, more power. Your no's will probably mean much more than your yes's because you're not all over the place. You're just, this is where I'm going at. This is what God has told me to do. And he would begin to flourish you in ways that you never imagined. You flourish your family. The things that we learn, the truths that we learn in God's house, in God's word, there's not just things that we kind of keep in ourselves. Just as these roots begin to grow and nobody can see them, and you're growing down before you grow up, that is a spiritual example. That is all of a sudden your kid comes back and the drugs no longer have a hold on him because God in the spirit will begin to break some of those things. All of a sudden, what the doctor said your kid had or was diagnosed with, it's not that anymore. Why? Because some roots have started growing. You're planted in God's house. He's going to take care of it. You take care of God's house. He's going to take care of your house. But all of a sudden, it starts to grow, and you're noticing as your family says, hey, I want to go to church with you. And your husband says, yeah, let me get dressed. I'm going to be late. Well, you can't be late, honey. I got worship. They sang too good. No, relax. Chill. We're going to sing another song for you, I promise. Wait for him, because the moment that he walks into God's house, everything can change. He flourishes your family, flourishes your giftings. There's things inside of you that God will begin to grow, grow, and grow. You get creative ideas. Some of you guys are asking God, I need money to do this. No, you don't need a bunch of money. You know what you need? You just need creativity. You just need to think. Use what you have in your hand. God, multiply this. Make me think of how can I be creative with this idea. All I got right now is a pillow, God. How am I going to sell this pillow to get another pillow, to get 4 pillows, to get 10 pillows, to be able to sell them? Now I'm going to throw some paint on them. And now I got painted pillows. That's the worst example ever. But if you have painted pillows and you make some money, make sure y'all give y'all 10%. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But your leadership begins to grow. Now all of a sudden you know what you got to do, but now you're having conversations with other people. Hey, I got this idea. Can you help me with this idea? And all of a sudden you're like, here's what you're going to do. Here's what you're going to do. We're going to all do this thing together. That happens in God's house. That's where leadership happens. When you lead a ministry and you're telling people, hey, the chairs are going to go here. These things are going to go behind the chair. They're going to go inside of it. This is what we're going to do. You're finding leadership in God's house, and all of a sudden you're using it for your life. You're losing it for your own marriage, where now you're no longer stepping ahead of your, that's not leadership, jumping way ahead and doing it all by yourself. No, leadership actually means that you wait, you grab your wife or your husband, and you walk this thing out together. I remember my wife said this thing one time, and this is a little freebie for you guys that are single. Put this in your pocket. Save it for later. It's going to save you a lot of heartache. When you're looking for a woman or a man to marry, you run and you chase after God. Run after God. Just, y'all see how I jog? Run after God. Join my G group. Join after God. I mean, join after God. Chase after God. Here's what happens, though. When you're running towards God, if you look to your left, and there's a woman that's running next to you or a man that's running next to you, he's not running so slow that you got to slow down so they can catch up, or you got to run so fast to catch up with them. But this person is right next to you. That's your wife and that's your husband. Here's the common denominator. Chase after God. He's going to take care of it all. All you need to do is chase after God. When you look to the left, oh, that's her. That was my wife. I was running. I was like, ooh, I choose you, girl. We running this way. That was so weird and creepy. I didn't say that. She probably wouldn't have dated me if I said that. But you begin to flourish in your giftings, your family, your own life. And you find yourself in a place where you finally begin to bear fruit. You begin to see as God starts using you. The most beautiful thing in life is to think that a little gang member from Miami was all messed up. Bullet holes in his body, his head split wide open, his neck ripped wide open. Been in jail 13 different times. Sat in prison for 5 years for some pretty serious charges. And for God all of a sudden to take this kid and to plant him in God's house. And for you to watch as this kid began to grow. And the roots would grow down before they ever grew up. And all of a sudden he finds himself in a place where he's flourishing now. And he's leading other people to go through the process. This isn't Herbalife or some type of pyramid scheme. This is the word of God. He says that he's going to flourish us. And I believe it. Understand what I mean by us. God is into the business of planting redwoods. Into the business of planting me and you. Redwood, that mean my skin is... No, that's not that type of redwood. It's weird. Redwoods are these trees. These trees grow about 350 feet in the sky. I think we have a picture. Pull up the picture real quick of the redwoods. These are redwood trees. These things grow about 350 feet in the sky. It's crazy. When you're going through them, you're like sitting there and you're looking up. It just, they keep going as far as the eye can see. 350 feet. To give us some context, what would you say this is right here, Miguel? Probably like 50 feet? Sure, we're going to say 50 feet. So think about five times more than this. So you're looking all the way. You know how much their roots are? You know how deep those roots are for those big old trees? You know how deep those roots are? They're about 6 feet deep. 6 feet deep to hold that up? Yeah. Because as you notice, there's these redwoods and they're kind of all over the place. As you see them, they're kind of scattered amongst each other. Now, they might be 6 feet down, but they're about 100 feet to the left and 100 feet to the right. Why? Because they're entwined with the other tree. And this tree is entwined with that one. And they're sharing their nutrients. They're sharing the things that are causing them to grow. And when one tree starts to bend over to the left, the other one kind of grabs it because the roots are tied into it. That's the picture of God's house. That's the picture of me and you being a bunch of redwoods, that we grab each other. We won't let each other fall. We won't let each other go to the left or to the right. We're planted in God's house. We're going to hang on to each other. We're going to make sure that you make it. We're not going to allow you to fall. We're not going to allow you that the storms, we're not going to allow that the tornadoes, the hurricanes, I don't care whatever name you get them, we're not going to allow those things to come into your life and to sway you to the left or to the right. No, we're actually going to grab hold each and every one of us side by side, and we're going to do this thing. Now, here's my question to you, though. Are you planted in God's house? Is Jesus the Lord of your life? Would you bow your head and close your eyes for just a second?
Thanks for listening to our podcast today. The mission of Greater Church is to reach the lost and empower the found. We pray this message met you wherever you find yourself on the journey. If God is using this ministry to impact your life, please help us to continue to spread the word by investing today. You can give at greater.church. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and follow us on social media at MyGreaterChurch.